What really happened is I watched so many couples or individuals retire in the traditional sense and not thrive. I watched them go from busy, active people to being idle. And regardless of wealth, they weren't happy. Mm-hmm. And I think your whole premise of retire well and retire happy, let's not forget the second part. Because it's one thing to have a ton of money and be financially independent. And I think that's terrific. But it's also important to have a reason to get out of bed every morning and to have a purpose and a mission. And it doesn't have to be for money. If you've built financial independence such that you can chase your passions and they're not making you money at that time, great. But you need to consider that before the day you give notice, because you can't just wake up one morning and say, well, now I get to figure out what I want to be when I grow up. That takes some planning, and it's more than just the math.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. And we'll also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
Hi, welcome back to the Retire Well, Retire Happy podcast show with your host, Annie Nelson. And today I have a special guest, Eric Brotman. And we have heard Eric before, quite a few years ago, in 3 years, in fact. But Eric is a certified financial planner, a financial advisor, wealth manager, mentor, and host of the podcast Don't Retire, Graduate. As CEO of BFG Financial Advisors, he has been advising his clients on investing, risk management, retirement, and financial planning for over 25 years. Eric believes that financial literacy is the key to well-being and is on a mission to help families and professionals achieve financial freedom. So welcome to the show, Eric.
And it's so good to be back. I can't believe it's been 3 years, but I'm glad to be here.
You're welcome. And a lot's been happening in that 3 years. I believe you're doing some work at a university.
Yeah, no, I've been very involved with Stevenson University here in Maryland, and have also been involved with Junior Achievement doing some nonprofit work. So it's been a lot of fun. The book that we talked about, you know, I was just starting my podcast when I was on your show back in 2018, and Don't Retire, Graduate was a concept. And now it's a book and a workbook, and we've got an online course coming out. And it's really become a mission for me to help people figure out how to look at retirement as an advancement rather than a retreat.
So you've got a completely different idea about retirement now. Obviously, with your new book out, Don't Retire, Graduate. So how did this come about that you've sort of evolved in your thinking about retirement?
What really happened is I watched so many couples or individuals retire in the traditional sense and not thrive. I watched them go from busy, active people to being idle. And regardless of wealth, they weren't happy. Mm-hmm. And I think your whole premise of retire well and retire happy, let's not forget the second part. Because it's one thing to have a ton of money and be financially independent. And I think that's terrific. But it's also important to have a reason to get out of bed every morning and to have a purpose and a mission. And it doesn't have to be for money. If you've built financial independence such that you can chase your passions and they're not making you money at that time, great. But you need to consider that before the day you give notice, because you can't just wake up one morning and say, well, now I get to figure out what I want to be when I grow up. That takes some planning, and it's more than just the math.
It's very interesting that you say that. So we've got, on one hand, you've got people with haven't provided enough money for themselves. But on the other hand, you've got people that have, but don't know what to do with their retirement. It's very interesting.
It's actually very tragic to have a career or a life that should have been or could have been full of abundance, but instead has been really about building a nest egg with no purpose other than like having a number on a scoreboard. And you get to a certain level, abundance means more than just net worth. And I just think there's some coaching, some consulting, some, it's almost therapy. And I'm definitely not a therapist. In fact, usually I'm in need of a good therapist. But this is one of those situations where it's so important to know what it is you want to do, what you want to accomplish. And it's got to be more than a bucket list. You can't just list five things or five places you want to go before you die, because if you knock them out by 68, you have no reason to live anymore. And of course, I'm being flip, but it's more than a bucket list. It's finding a passion. It's finding a reason to thrive, because they're just, you can't go from 50 or 60 hours a week or being an entrepreneur or doing all these things and suddenly just quit. If you have enough money that you can do anything you want, that's great, but don't do nothing.
It's more likely it's been the people that have been busy with their careers and they haven't had any time to do anything else, whether that's through just their work commitment or they just have had blinkers on. But if you don't prepare yourself for retirement and try out what you might want to do later on, you can run into big trouble, as you're saying.
You can. And there's a lot of people who never take the trip and they never do the things that they've always wanted to. And they put it off until they think they can afford it, until that rainy day. And then it doesn't rain. Or one of the spouses passes away, or they're not healthy enough to enjoy it. It's a fool's errand, I think, to squirrel away money so surreptitiously that you no longer enjoy yourself now. At the same time, it makes no sense to spend every nickel you make now, because eventually you'll pay the piper for that too. So I'm not suggesting that you spend every dollar and hope for the best. But I think there's a balance. There's a balance between not saving enough, which clearly impacts lots of families, but also potentially saving too much and not doing the things that make life great. Because this is not a dress rehearsal. This is our only shot at this. These trips around the sun, we only get so many.
Yeah. But not everything costs money either. There's plenty of things we can do to invest in ourselves and our time and use it wisely, and can help your community, that don't cost money but can be very worthwhile.
Absolutely. And volunteering and being involved in the community or in your religious affiliation or your educational affiliation or whatever is important to you, your neighborhood, it makes a huge difference. And figuring out what you're passionate about and where you want to make a difference. Do you want to make a difference with young people? Do you want to make a difference with seniors? Do you want to make a difference with ecology? Do you want to make a difference with, it could even be something as simple as you want to run a fitness course for the local senior center. It could be anything. I actually had a guest on my show. He was fascinating. He was in his 80s. And he worked with other octogenarians to help them figure out businesses they could start because they wanted to be active, and not necessarily because they needed the money, but because it was fun to do. And so somebody 84 was starting a dog walking business because they loved pets and they got exercise. That's great. You're not going to make a mint doing that, and that's okay. It's not about the money. It's about here's somebody who's getting exercise and doing what he loves. And he's helping a lot of people, by the way, who couldn't walk their dogs because they were too busy working.
So if someone came to you in their 50s, say, and what sort of questions do you run them through now that would be different to before you had a change of direction?
The very first question that comes to mind is asking someone what they want to be when they grow up. When's the last time somebody asked you that? I wish I had asked you 3 years ago, because then we could see if you had done it. But what do you want to be when you grow up? Because when we're seven, we all want to be astronauts or play pro sports or be ballerinas or whatever it is. It's rare that somebody goes, you know what I want to do? I want to be a clerk at the local courthouse. You know, that's not what people say. But at some point, you can ask a 50-year-old or a 60-year-old or a 70-year-old, what do you want to be when you grow up? What's your next act? And the look that you get is completely different than when you're talking about finances. This is not about money. Money matters. I've heard it said that money is a lot like oxygen. When you have enough, you don't think about it. And when you don't have enough, it's all you think about. And I think there's something true to that. But this isn't about money. This is about making a difference. It's about leaving a legacy. It's about living with dignity. If you're a person who's in your 50s and you haven't done a great job of saving or investing for yourself and you're playing some catch up, It's about figuring out not only how you're going to catch up, but also figuring out, can you work later into your life doing something you love that's maybe less intense than you're doing now? Your graduation from full-time employment might not be idle. It might be part-time employment and doing some other things. So determining what's your next step, you can work into your 70s or 80s. If you love it, it's not work. Now, if you dig ditches for a living, there may come a point where physically you can't anymore. But if you're an accountant, presumably you could do accounting until you just simply don't enjoy it anymore, or until cognitively you're not able to do it anymore. But for the most part, you can do that till you're 80 if you love it. If you hate it, that's a whole nother story. People who punch the clock and can't wait till Friday at 5 because they just can't stand it anymore, and they're looking forward to graduating into a retirement that is anything but what they're doing, you know, I think that's a tragic life too. Mm-hmm. Working a job you hate that you can't wait to finish is a horrible way to spend a third of your life, and arguably the part of your life with the most abundance.
Mm. Do you bring the two, like the couples in together? Always. To talk to you? How important is that?
Very, because people don't talk about these things, even with their spouses or significant others. I'll give you a perfect example. When you're talking about retirement, a lot of the conversation is around, where are you going to live? Are you going to stay in your current home? Are you going to downsize? Are you going to move to a different climate or a different area? Do you want to be in the mountains or at the beach? What, you know, what does that look like? I'm shocked, but couples really don't talk about it. And so I'll ask a question. I'll have a husband and wife sitting in front of me, and I'll say, so how long do you plan to be in the house? And the husband will say, we're going to be there forever. We are never leaving. And the wife will say, maybe a year or two. And they'll both look at each other dumbfounded. It's like a game show where they had the wrong answers for each other. And you have to sort of figure out, how do you navigate when you don't have communication? And so we create that safe space for communication. We do the same thing with multiple generations. If people need to talk to their parents about issues around money or their grown children, you know, we become a bridge for that multi-generational type of planning. And it creates really healthy dialogue that a lot of times is qualitative. And it's not about quantitative things as much as about the things that really matter.
Mm.
The math is just that. The math is simple. It's a math problem. We'll figure that out. But that's the least important piece.
Mm. It's not until we get to retirement age, or when the point where we don't have to work full time anymore, do we end up having the time to figure out, well, what else is there out there, and what have I missed out on, and what maybe can I do? Because we've been busy looking after everyone else. And now it's sort of me time, isn't it?
Yes, although I would challenge you to encourage your listeners not to wait until they're retired.
Mm.
And to be thinking about that 2, 3, 5 years beforehand. Because if it's your desire to make a difference in whatever community it is, let's say you want to be involved with a food bank in your area, and this is something important to you, you don't typically retire one day and then call the food bank and say, well, I'm here, I'm ready, let's volunteer. I mean, you can, they would love that. But it's better, I think, to begin that volunteering while you're still active, while you're still working. It's like building another network. It's building a network in the nonprofit world. It's figuring out, who are the players? Where do I actually want to dedicate my time? Where am I going to make the most impact? So that when you do flip the switch and you're no longer working part-time, you can make a much greater impact because you know the right people, the right places, the right resources. You're not inventing it the day you're idle.
So how do you work with people through this new book and workbook that you've created?
The book and the workbook are really designed to supplement what we do every day as financial advisors and wealth managers. And the book is a nice way for a do-it-yourselfer at any age to start gaining some financial literacy. So it's not a textbook, but it's written with a college theme, with the idea that there's a freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior year of your life. And financially, that means freshman year is figuring out student loans and your first job and your employee benefits and cash management and how to avoid debt or get out of debt. And then you move on to sophomore year, and it's some of the big life decisions. We're getting married, now what? Or we're going to buy our first home, or we're having children. How do you navigate some of those kinds of life events? And then junior year is really your peak earning years. Now you have some new challenges. You have some risk management challenges. You have some tax issues. You have investment issues, some of which you might not have faced before. So you have to figure out, how do I manage a portfolio for myself that at 27 was quite simple and at 47 is much more complex? And then the senior year is, how do I change, how do I flip the switch from accumulation to preservation and distribution of wealth? You've spent your entire adult life building it. Now, how do you use it? Where does it come from? How is it taxed? How do you make sure you don't outlive it? And what are the decisions you need to make, some of which have to be made at a specific time, at a specific age? Sometimes it's irrevocable. What are the decisions you need to make to be ready, and how do you navigate those decisions from a position of knowledge rather than from a flip a coin? And so the book was written that way. And every chapter is essentially like its own mini course. And it ends with a little quiz for fun. There are no homework assignments. And I don't know anyone who liked homework. My daughter is in middle school and does not like homework. So instead, every chapter ends with an extra credit assignment. And the extra credit assignments have been turned into a workbook. And that workbook essentially allows you to build your own financial freedom plan by doing just those assignments. And one assignment might be related to debt or to budgeting. And one might be around reviewing your portfolio or your beneficiaries or your estate. And so there are 21 or so exercises that will lead you through a plan that also includes, what do you want to be when you grow up? And it walks you through more than a bucket list. What are those things that really excite you? How do you want to be remembered? It's so much more than just money. So the book and the workbook are great for literally any adult learner, I think. I think high school kids would probably find it a little mundane. But once you're in college or older, I think it's useful at any age. You can pick it up and sort of jump right to the point where you are in your life. If you've already owned 3 homes, you don't necessarily need the chapter on how to buy your first house. But there'll be other things that will be relevant. So it doesn't have to be linear. You don't have to read the whole thing. You can pick and choose. And so there's a chapter about risk management, about insurance and protecting your person and your property. And it's called How to Dig the Moat Around Your Castle. And so it's all about protecting. And that's true at any age. And your castle might get bigger, but the bigger your castle is, the deeper and wider your moat better be. And we talk about it in that way. It is not written to be a textbook. It's a fun read. I quote some fun people. I don't know anyone who's found it boring. And it's available on audiobook for people who like my voice and want to hear it for 20 hours or so. That's one way to do it. It's audio. It's on Kindle. It's on hardback and softback. It's available at Amazon. And we are creating right now an online course for the freshman year. So it'll be an online course primarily for younger adults. And we want to see how it goes. Like, is this something that that people love, or is this a type of learning they're not as excited about? And if it goes well, we'll do sophomore year and we'll see how it works. But we're going to put that out, I think, late June this year. And so that'll be available as well. And it's just a way for do-it-yourselfers to get an objective look at this. And, you know, there's an entire chapter on how to find a financial advisor, the types of questions to ask him or her, who to interview, how that works, so that you know, not necessarily who is a good or bad advisor, but if you decide you want to hire somebody, how do you know you're hiring someone right for you? What are the interview questions and what do the answers mean? You know, how are you compensated, or who do you work for, or are you a fiduciary, or all the things that we take for granted in the financial media or in the financial planning space because we do this every day. Not everyone necessarily knows instinctively what that means.
Well, you've gone to a lot of trouble, and it sounds like an excellent resource. Is the workbook available separate to the book?
It is. You can buy them together or you can buy them separately. I think it makes a nice companion piece, but ultimately, if you decide you just want to jump right to the extra credit assignments, you can.
It sounds like a wonderful present for many different generations. Something different, but something very practical.
I appreciate that. I think it is a great gift for mom and dad. It's also a great gift for kids if they're graduating from high school or college or starting a job or having one of those life changes where, you know, now it's time to really think about this. And it really does illustrate why if you're younger and you start early, it will be a much easier road. I mean, it is much harder to play catch up. Time is not on your side at 60 like it is at 30. And that's just real.
Yeah. I think it's, like you said, you're working with younger people, but it's an education process because I can remember back to when I first started working and it wasn't really about how much was I going to save this week. It was all about, oh, I've got this money, and it's more about, oh, what can I buy this week?
And you're not alone. And some of that is fine. But, you know, I remember I got my first job and I wasn't there 3 hours when I got the packet of employee benefit information that was, I don't know how long, and I was grossly overwhelmed. And I did what any 21-year-old kid would do. I went straight to my parents and said, what do I choose? Well, the reality is they didn't know any better than I did. Even though they had been in the workforce, it's not like that was the best place for advice. And it's not that they led me astray or tried to hurt me. It's that they brought their own biases to the table. And I had to look at it from my 21-year-old eyes at the time, not their 55-year-old eyes at the time. And so now I'm trying to empower my daughter. When it comes time to think about education, college, or her working, I'm hopeful that rather than telling her what to do, I can provide her with some guidance, but also some resources so she can figure it out herself. I mean, it's important to make decisions that matter to you. It's not my plan, it's her plan.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds very wise too. So what parting message would you like to leave with the listeners today? What can they do to prepare themselves for graduation into retirement?
I think the very first thing I would say is don't wait. Get started. And get started with inventory. Figure out where you are. There's an exercise in the workbook for that, but figure out where you are. What are your assets? What are your liabilities? Where is the, if you're on a map to try and get where you're going to go, where is the you are here sticker that goes on the map to show you where you're starting? Then you can start to dream a little and say, well, where would I like to be in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years? And what will it take to get there? And once you have a plan in place, have an accountability partner. It can be a spouse, it can be a friend, it can be a professional like myself, it could be anybody you feel comfortable with, and then be accountable and do your thing. I think if you do those things, you take inventory, you start right away, and you have an accountability partner, you are in better shape than most, and that's how I'd get started.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much for sharing your ideas and sharing the information about your new book and your workbook and your upcoming course with us today on the Retire While Retire Happy show. If anyone wanted to get in touch with you or find out more about your book, where would they go?
The book's available on Amazon or any place you buy books online. For more about me and the book and the podcast and the business, you can go to brotmanmedia.com or you can go to financialplanningforall.com and you'll learn a whole lot more about what we do and how we do it.
Thank you. Financial planning for all. That sounds wonderful. Very all-encompassing. Thank you very much. You've been listening to Annie Nelson on the Retire While Retire Happy show. And the special guest today is Eric Brotman from the Don't Retire, Graduate podcast show.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.